This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them. Recruiting suckers, Mac and Mike and
Mike. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and someone much more pleasant to talk to than Iron Mike Tyson, if I'm a Canadian journalist, Marcus Vandenberg. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. First, did you see that clip today?
I did. I sent it to Morgan because Morgan Campbell actually interviewed Mike Tyson yesterday for his Sportonomics show. And that was unfortunate for CP24 host who got cussed out on the air multiple times.
I think his name was Nathan Downer. So insert your own joke.
Yeah.
But so hopefully he didn't cuss Morgan out.
No, he did not. He did not. I confirmed with Morgan. He did not get cussed out. So,
and I don't know what it is about Mike, but like he kind of did the same thing when he was on Highly Questionable with Dan Le Batard, except he didn't curse. But it's like he has a way of being angry but being soft spoken at the same time.
It's a very scary trait.
Yeah, like I'm more worried about that guy than the guy that's yelling at me.
Yeah.
Like, so Mike, are you nervous about this show? I'm actually quite happy with the show, and you know, it's a lot more easier than doing things like this with snakes and scavengers like you. It's like, whoa, like, what's going on in that dude's head?
Yeah, a lot of things.
Oh, speaking of a lot of things, Marcus, quiet week in the world of sports, huh?
Yeah. WNBA finals.
Yes, we are leading with the Mercury, and who the hell is Mercury playing?
Chicago Sky. I knew
the
that.
Mercury in the Sky. That will not be your lead topic tonight. Of course, we're going to talk about the ongoing Ray Rice and now NFL saga that has spun out of this. For those that haven't been caught up to speed with this, Marcus, and if you're listening to this show, you obviously should have some sort of base knowledge of the Ray Rice situation going back to the footage. What was it, 6 or 7 months ago, Marcus?
The event occurred in February. The footage was April, I believe.
Okay. And the initial footage that we all saw was, you know, Ray Rice dragging his unconscious, at the time, girlfriend, now his wife, Janae Palmer, now Janae Rice, dragging her out of an elevator unconscious in Atlantic City. And, you know, it was a bad look then. Spinning it forward, Roger Goodell and the NFL suspended Ray Rice for 2 games. Then they instituted the new domestic violence policy about a week or so ago, because we were talking about it in regards to Ray McDonald.
Correct.
And on Monday, just 2 days ago, all hell broke loose because we finally saw the actual inside the elevator footage of what happened with Ray Rice and Janae Rice.
Yeah, so early Monday morning, TMZ released a video from Revel Casino in Atlantic City where, as you mentioned, it was the video of Ray Rice punching his then-fiance and knocking her out. The ironic thing about this is I feel like the story hasn't been told yet, but I think part of the reason why the video came out now is because that casino closed, I believe, over the weekend. And the casino was only maybe 2 years old, but Atlantic City is going through some issues with the economy and the gaming community. So unfortunately for them, that casino, even though it was pretty much brand new, ended up closing. So I'm sure there's employees who are looking to make a buck or two and TMZ got their hands on the video and released it, and all hell has broken loose since then.
Yeah, and it's let's kind of go chronologically, I guess. The first thing that kind of broke out was, I guess it was 4 a.m. when the footage leaked, or not leaked, but it was released by TMZ, which seems kind of an odd time, Marcus, and we'll kind of get back to that in a second. So that came out. Then we had, what came first? Did Ray Rice get suspended?
Ray Rice was terminated from the Ravens first.
Okay, he was terminated from the Baltimore Ravens, and then the NFL suspended him indefinitely.
Correct.
And so then that was kind of, we got the blowback from that, the discussion about that, and it, topics like this always bring out the, I don't want to say the worst in people, but the most knee-jerk reactions, both good and bad, from people. You know, especially one of the things I want to talk about in a second is just kind of the reactions of the NFL players and the kind of fraternity and the way they kind of came around on this. But then today, as of Wednesday night when we're recording this, the big thing, I guess, in the last couple of days was, you know, did the NFL have previous access or knowledge of this additional footage? Did Roger Goodell or somebody in the NFL front office have a chance to view this? And they've always said, no, we haven't seen this. We were basing our decisions on the discussions that we had with the police and with Ray Rice and Janae. And lo and behold, I guess maybe a couple hours ago now, Marcus?
Yeah, it was Wednesday afternoon.
Wednesday afternoon, okay. It was a report from the AP that there was a tape apparently delivered and received to the NFL office in Manhattan showing the footage.
Yeah, AP had a story that said they sent over the tape to the NFL, or the tape was sent over to the NFL, and to the point where there was a voicemail or a recording of a NFL employee of some sort basically confirming that the tape was delivered. But the NFL has come out and said, has denied that AP story and still sticking by Roger Goodell's story that no one at NFL headquarters viewed the tape before Monday. So there's two different stories going on.
Oh, so, okay. Where do you want to go with this, Marcus? Because there's a couple different ways we could go, and you know, I think we'll probably hit on all of them at some point. You want to go Roger Goodell first? You want to go the reaction to the reaction first? Or where do you want to start on this?
Let's start with Roger.
All right, because to me, what show did he go on? Was it
the CBS Nightly News?
CBS Nightly News, okay. And you know, he spoke, and basically he was asked point blank, "Have you or anybody in the NFL front office seen the footage before Monday?" And he said no. Then he said, "Not to my knowledge," which gives him some wiggle room, I guess. But I got to think, Marcus, if Roger Goodell either saw the tape or willfully didn't look at the tape, I think either way, that's a bad look, and it may, you know, you never want to call for somebody's job, but that may be enough to get him canned.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to require the owners to vote him out, essentially, and I don't know if the owners are willing to do that over this situation, so I don't see him stepping down, and I at the moment, I don't see the owners voting him out, so he's sort of stuck in an awkward position where he is hated by the general public at the moment, and I'm sure his owners aren't his biggest fans, but not to the point where, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, the owners are making money, and unless Goodell somehow impacts the lead in terms of sponsorships or somehow affects the bottom line of this lead making money, then I don't see the owners really pulling Adam Silver and calling for Roger's head.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very tenuous position. It's not the most secure spot for a commissioner of a league. It, you know, not to trivialize it, even though I guess I am because I'm going to make a movie analogy, but it's kind of like in one of those movies where you've got the bad guy, but he's working for another bad guy, and somehow the deal goes wrong, and the hero is coming to the first bad guy's door, and the you know, he's calling his higher ups, and he's like, "Hey man, you know, Rambo's coming. I need your help." And they're like, you're on your own on this one. If you survive, holla at us.
Yeah.
And that's where Rodgers at right now. I think this is a situation that also doesn't look good for Roger, because it kind of mirrors some of his words have come back to haunt him or bite him in the butt, in particular during Bountygate, when he was talking in reference to the Saints and to their management, and he's like, ignorance is not an excuse. And if you're Roger Goodell, if you're the NFL, yes, you know, you're not the police. You can't strong arm TMZ or whoever to show you the tape. But you got, you know, people working for you that know how to get things done. Let's just say it like that. You know, you've got people that can be very persuasive. You've got, you know, ways to come to agreements and you know, take a look at what needs to be seen. And for you to say that nobody was able to procure this video or take a look at the video, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I find it hard to believe, Marcus. Just me personally.
Oh, I find it very hard to believe. And, you know, if they don't view the video, then they don't have to put themselves in a situation, or maybe that was the thinking they thought was, well, if we don't see it, then, you know, we don't really have to get too involved. But,
and to me, that's just as bad.
Yeah, just as bad.
If you have a chance to see the video, then and you turn a blind eye, you know, it's either one or the other. Either you're willfully being ignorant, or you're just making a series of dumb moves after dumb moves, and neither one is a good look for your leadership.
Yeah, it's not good at all. I'm assuming at some point, maybe this week, next week, we'll get another Roger Goodell interview where hopefully he'll have more answers than he gave on Tuesday, because he really didn't give too much during the interview.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think he can weather this storm, but, you know, I think it depends on, A, the public outcry. You know, he's already got the National Organization of Women calling for his head. But more to the point, and more important from an ownership perspective is if sponsors start pulling out because of this. Because then I think you're dealing with, you know, you the real lifeblood of the league, and that's corporate sponsorships.
Yeah, and no one's done so yet, to my knowledge. And if they haven't done it by now, you know, I don't see people doing it. So, you know, I think this will somehow pass for Roger with time, as most stuff does. I mean, when the next distraction or sideshow happens, and the media attention will be shifted from Roger to whatever else is happening in the sports world. But, you know, for the time being, he's public enemy number one.
Yeah, but let's kind of keep going and keep spinning this thing, Marcus, because like I said, there's layers to this onion, man, and every layer stinks. Something that intrigued me was player response and player reaction. And I've been of the opinion, you know, we talked about this when the first video came out, you know, that, you know, we didn't know what happened in the elevator at the time, but either way, it was a bad look. And neither one of us was, you know, that forgiving or that acquiescing to Ray Rice in that situation. You know, I found it interesting that a lot of the players were backing him. A lot of the players, you know, Warren Moon, a former player notably that kind of went through a similar thing with domestic abuse, showed support for Ray Rice. But then when this video came out, everybody flipped the script.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Ray Rice is somebody that should be held up or should be defended because he did a terrible thing. But I'm like, if you are upset at the video, why weren't you this upset when we saw him dragging this unconscious woman out of the elevator? Why weren't you this upset when he and his wife both said, yes, Ray hit me in the elevator to the commissioner? Like, I understand that there's something visceral about seeing what he did and the cold way that he did it. But at the same time, it's like nothing that we saw on Monday really changed the facts that we knew, you know, before that.
No, I think they wanted to believe differently. I think they wanted to believe that somehow he's provoked, or somehow it wasn't as bad as it seemed. Like maybe he didn't strike her to the point as we saw in the video, and maybe she just somehow bumped her head, or just, I think they were just trying to come up with stories in their head to because you gotta remember, Ray Rice was a stand-up dude prior to all this. And I think, you know, with a guy like Ray Rice, he was getting the benefit of the doubt when it came to what actually happened in the elevator, unfortunately. So when the video actually came out and you saw what exactly happened, I mean, it, you know, there's, you know, well, there's one guy who sort of defended him after the video came out, but most people, most athletes were smart enough to realize that that's one dude you really can't stand by, because that what he did was just heinous.
Yeah, and it, like I said, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of the dude when I first saw the initial video. You know, the video in the elevator, it did it change my opinion? Not really. You know, it was shocking, I guess, with the ease, I guess is what the word I'm looking for, just the ease of which he struck his girlfriend at the time. And there was no sign of remorse on his face, which leads me to believe that this wasn't the first time it happened.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not an expert in domestic violence. You know, I've never hit any of my significant others, but I would suspect if I did, it would be in a moment of rage, and then there would be an immediate moment of, what have I done?
Yeah.
And we didn't see any of that from Ray. He was just like, I'm inconvenienced now because I got to drag this chick out of the elevator.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about news outlets showing the video?
I'm torn on it because it is literally like it is the story, because if we didn't see the video on Monday, we wouldn't be talking about this. You know what I mean? If we didn't see the video on Monday, Ray Rice would be playing in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know? So it is the story, and I know they have to show it. I think maybe it was shown too much, or maybe there should have been, you know, some type of warning beforehand, but you know, I don't agree, because I guess she came out and stated that, you know, the because they were showing it was disrespectful to her and Ray, but you know, it's the story. You know, you've got to show the footage. I just don't know if maybe they showed it too much, but you know, I don't really fault them for it.
But what does it say about us as a society where we have no issue showing this video, but we won't show the Paul George injury? I've seen this video way more than I've ever saw the Paul George play from start to finish.
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, when I saw the Paul George injury live when it happened, and once on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
And that was it.
After that, we got blurred images, or
yep,
we got shots of like right before the snap happened, and it was like we never saw the play from start to finish. And that, it's, you know, apples and oranges, but in terms of being a news story, they're both news stories, but it's just kind of weird how we treat this story compared to an injury.
Yeah, that, and the other thing was, because I remember it was on one show on ESPN where they're like, we're not going to show the footage, but then it was today, then once I got home from work, the very next segment, when they're talking to Roger Cossack, which is always a bad sign if you're involved in a story where Roger Cossack is on the line.
Just ask Kobe.
Yeah. And they're not only showing the footage, but they're like highlighting specific parts and slowing it down. And it's like, yeah, I didn't think of it that way. But it's I don't know, because we've never seen, just in terms of violence towards a human being, much less a woman, the last time I could think of maybe something this intense being shown this many times is Rodney King, maybe. Like, I can't think of anything recently where somebody was been beat down and it's been overplayed and overplayed and overplayed.
I can't. Out here in Los Angeles, we had a situation where a woman who was arrested by a CHP officer in Los Angeles, and the officer was literally kicking her ass.
Oh, was it the grandmother?
Yeah, on the side of the highway.
I heard the story. I never saw the footage, though.
Yeah,
but was something they played out there?
I wouldn't say over and over, but I saw it more than once on the news.
Okay.
And there was never any warning or, you know, anything like that. They just showed it as regular footage. And she wasn't unconscious like Janae, but she was taking multiple punches from this officer.
Yeah, come to think of it, even when they showed the Kevin Ward footage, they gave us a warning.
Yeah.
You know, and granted, somebody died in that particular instance, but that footage was much less graphic, I guess, in a sense, because we couldn't really see what happened.
Yeah.
On the track, you know,
and that's another one where they didn't show. They stopped showing it. after a certain point as well. So just something to think about.
Yeah, that leads me to my next question, Marcus, because I've had some spirited discussions with women whose opinions I respect. I say they kind of run the gamut from conservative to liberal to very, very feminist in some cases, but it's almost like they're surprised by this, you know, by this incident, and that, you know, this guy could have support, at least up until Monday, from, you know, his fellow teammates and former NFL players. But I'm like, you know, this is a league that has kind of brushed some of this stuff under the rug for a while. I mean, if you think about it, Javon Belcher, that happened a year ago. Was it a year ago?
Oh, more than a year ago.
Okay, so let's say two years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago, and nobody really was talking about that incident. And, like, the last time I heard it brought up was during this. Like, it took Ray Rice to bring up Javon Belcher's. Like, how quickly we forget instances of violence, instances of anger issues, instances of violence, you know what I mean? And I think I said violence twice, but that's how violent it was. Instances like it, the NFL has a culture of, some would call it protecting the shield, but I call it, you know, covering your ass. Maybe they're the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're guys currently in the league who have domestic violence, either convicted charges, allegations in the past. You know, it's just, I don't say it's a culture of the NFL or sports in general, but it's just one of those things where I don't think people cared up until now. I mean,
yeah. And like, it's a little different for Ray, I think, because he's an offensive player and he's smaller. You know, he's not like this big, huge linebacker or, you know, an offensive lineman where, you know, it's like, these are warriors and gladiators. And, you know, they, of course they live hard because they play hard. You know, Ray Rice is somebody that is a little bit more, I guess, relatable to the average guy. And it's like, you know, when you kind of juxtapose that with the image that he had of being a good guy, and for all intents and purposes, you know, maybe he was a really good guy in certain aspects of his life. But when it came to, you know, being a good boyfriend or, you know, significant other, he was severely lacking. But bringing it back to the field, do you think that Ray Rice is ever going to step foot on an NFL field as an active player again?
No, I don't.
See, my first instinct is to say no, and I think if he doesn't, the only reason will be because of the outcry of the video. But, and I hate to say it, and I don't mean to minimize what Janae went through, and, you know, remember, she is the real victim of this, not Ray. Like, I seen people on Facebook posting, like, man, what they trying to do to Ray Rice is dirty, man. They doing Ray dirty. I'm like, you know what's dirty? Cold cocking a woman in an elevator.
Yeah.
That's dirty, man. But, you know, they've done, people in the NFL, they're active players that have done way worse. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's players, people in the NFL who have killed people.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And, you know, I love Michael Vick, but Michael Vick did something dirty. What's his name? Dante Stallworth had a vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah, he killed someone.
You know, and then, you know, you've got, these guys are, you know, a lot of the NFL players are really, really good people, but not everybody's a choir boy. And a lot of players have done a lot of dirt, and it comes down to if they can produce. What kind of plays against Ray Rice, and would lead me to kind of lean on your side, Marcus, is A, the outcry about this video, but as we saw with, you know, other incidents, you know, including Javon Belcher, the public has a short memory sometimes. But I think maybe the bigger thing, and it's kind of sad, is Ray Rice just is not the player he was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
If he was that guy, I think Ray Rice would be a lock to get back on the field.
Yeah, he's went off his worst season since his rookie campaign in 2008. And, yeah, he's 27, and I just don't see a team who would be that desperate on a running back to take that hit from their fan base for signing this dude, unfortunately. I just don't see it.
Yeah, it would take somebody who has overwhelming goodwill with the, like, you know, the only person that could really do it, and he's not even coaching anymore. Like, it had to be somebody like Tony Dungy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To kind of extend his goodwill to Ray Rice and, you know, use his name as a bargaining chip for Ray Rice to get a second chance. And there's nobody in the league, I think, that has that kind of pull in terms of being a quote-unquote moral representative like Tony Dungy had.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what he's going to do now with his life. He's still young. Hopefully he saved his money and he can take care of his family going forward. But in terms of football, I don't see him ever playing again in any type of football.
Yeah, you might be right, Mark. He like, because if the suspension is indefinite and it never gets lifted, he can't go to CFL.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I'll never say never because the NFL has surprised me before. But I'd say there's a good chance we've seen Ray Rice play his last football. So hopefully he can get his life together and he can, you know, him and his wife can get the help that they need. Even if that help may be that they need to get away from each other. But yeah, hopefully that whole situation can be fixed. Hopefully, and I rarely say this. I rarely am a supporter of Roger Goodell, but I hope for his sake that he is just the dumbest commissioner ever in this particular instance and didn't see the tape, because if he's lying, you know, what do we see all the time with this stuff, Marcus? It's not really the lie that gets you. It's the cover-up.
Yeah.
And if Roger covered this up, man, I could easily see him. Like, it could be a case where even if the owners don't want to get rid of him, public pressure is just too much.
Yeah, it might, that would force him probably to step down if today we found out that he was actually lying about the whole thing and he lied as recently as of Tuesday, then I think, yeah, that would force him out.
Yeah, so we will. I'm sure we'll be talking about this in the weeks to come. Like, I don't think this is the end of it, Marcus.
No.
But there was at least one person in America that was I won't say happy, but kind of relieved that Ray Rice was taking up all of the headlines, and he happened to reside in Atlanta. And his name is Bruce Levinson.
This is your basketball team. This is your team.
Yeah, my team, my hometown Atlanta Hawks. For those that don't know about Bruce Levinson, Marcus, he said something that may be considered controversial over the weekend.
Well, no, it was from...
Well, yeah, it wasn't over the weekend. It came out over the weekend, but he had said this, I guess, a while ago to send a memo to Danny Ferry.
Yeah, it's 2012. Atlanta Hawks owner Bruce Levinson basically sent an email to Danny Ferry and a couple other guys who CC'd on it. And the email was sort of some observations that Bruce had made during his time at Phillips Arena at a game, and just sort of giving his thoughts as an owner of what the team or what the franchise should be doing. And within that email, he started to get into specifics about race and the Atlanta Hawks fan base. So let me just go through and pull out some highlights of this gym. A letter. All right. So he made this observation that he looks around the arena during games and he notices the following. The fan base is 70% black. The cheerleaders are black. The music is hip-hop. At the bars, it's 90% black. There are a few fathers and sons at the games. And we are doing after-game concerts to attract more fans. And the concerts are either hip-hop or gospel. And then he notices that he looks around at other arenas and the whole makeup is different. And he cites DC as an example, which only has a 15% black audience. And then he gets into the whole thing with the Kiss Cam, where he where's the line?
The kiss cam is too black.
Yeah, it's too black. Too many black faces on there. And then he compares the Atlanta Thrashers merchandise sales to what it is at Hawks games, and he says essentially that it's three times the amount of sales at a hockey game compared to basketball games. So basically implying that black people don't spend money at his arena compared to his white hockey fans. And regardless of what time the game starts, we have the latest arriving crowd in the lead. It often looks and sounds pretty empty when the team takes the floor. So basically, he's going through every black stereotype about how we don't spend money, we arrive late, we like hip-hop and gospel.
The only benefit is chicken sales are through the roof.
That's all he was missing was a chicken line or orange soda.
Orange soda sales have been phenomenal. Yeah.
Sunkist loves us.
This is ridiculous. And like the crazy thing to me, Marcus, is like I know he sent it to Ferry and the rest of the guys a couple years ago, but like didn't he snitch on himself? Like, didn't he bring this to the public's attention over the weekend?
And no, Ferry snitched on him. Well, what happened was
I was trying to figure out, was it Ferry that did the snitching or did Levinson come out and raise his hand? What, like, how did they go down?
No, that was part one. Part two is Danny Ferry, the GM, who was on a call where they were discussing the law of Dane. And during that call is when Danny Ferry was reportedly reading off a scouting report about Luol Deng, and he made the reference that Luol Deng has some African in him. And basically, he said, I don't say that in a bad way. So from that call, one of the minority owners took offense to what Danny Ferry said, and as a result, they ended up running an internal investigation within the Hawks, and that's when they discovered the owner's email from 2012. So it was essentially Danny Ferry's fault for what happened. And this was a report that Danny Ferry didn't write. He was just reading off of it, and he read it out loud, and that's come back to haunt the Hawks, and I think eventually it will cost Danny Ferry his job, but I did see a tweet earlier that said Adam Silver didn't think he should lose his job over it, so maybe he won't lose his job.
You know, Bruce Levinson was like, man, if you get jammed up, don't mention my name. That's crazy, though. They're like, and let's go to the second point first, because, you know, you and I have both worked with an African.
Yes.
And for the most part, they're nice people. Get a little boisterous sometimes, but that's just how they are.
And they just disappear all of a sudden.
They just disappear. that just seems like, why? Like, Danny, like, maybe this dude, Bruce Levinson, shouldn't have been as aware. But Danny Ferry seems to me like somebody that should know what will and will not look good. Like being a player and being somebody that's been in management, you know, he seems like he should know better.
Duke on Duke crime, man. Duke on Duke crime.
And Coach K is like, can't we all just get along?
Could you imagine if that was Coach K's report that Danny read?
Oh, I think if it was Coach K's report, nobody would have a problem with it. Like, you know what? He's right. Those Africans. Oh, it's like, come on, man. Like, if you get, like this, I don't know what you think, Marcus, but to me, this is worse than the Sterling stuff. Because to me, the Sterling stuff was the racist ramblings of a senile man taped by his jump off. But this is somebody that's actually making policy decisions or proposing policy decisions based on race.
Are you talking about Ferry or Levinson?
I'm talking about Levinson. Like we need to appease the white fans here because the arena's too black.
Well, I mean, is it any different than what the Braves are doing by moving to Cobb County? They didn't write it in the memo, but they're basically moving to the white fan base.
Right, they completely changed the game altogether. They're like, you know what, we're just gonna go ahead and remove the arena from the problem, quote unquote.
Yeah, the only was 25 years old, 20 years old.
Yeah,
that was 96.
96. Yeah. Yeah, not even 20.
Yeah, it's out of date. We got to move.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
But yeah, like it's. I mean, yes, Atlanta is like one of the blackest cities in the world, like literally the world. Like I was born in Atlanta. You know, I have fond memories for Atlanta, but let's see, as of the last census in 2010, can you guess the percentage of racial makeup in Atlanta between white, black, and...
I got some Asians down there.
Okay, well, let's just go with white and black.
We doing
white,
black. This is the city of Atlanta?
Yes.
I'm going to go... Ooh. I'm going to go 60-40 white.
Ooh. You had the percentages almost right, Marcus, but you just had them...
Flip-flop?
Black, 54%.
Okay.
White, 38%. Hispanic and Latino, 5%.
Huh.
And that's... Like, I knew Atlanta was black. I just didn't know it was that black. Asian, 5%. Oh, excuse me. Asian's 5%. Hispanic was 10%. My bad. But yeah, that I didn't know Atlanta was like that black. And so when it's a weird kind of obstacle course because the general population that you're pulling from is overwhelmingly black. But the people that are going to buy the luxury boxes and the season tickets and, you know, the big suites and all that good stuff. For the most part, they're going to be white dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, how do I see, this is where Bruce Levinson messed up, because I think as a businessman, he wasn't being racist. He was just being ignorant. And I think as a businessman, it's a question that you need to address, but it shouldn't be, how can I make these white folks feel more comfortable? It's how should I make everybody feel comfortable? Because I'm sure the black folks are looking at these white folks and they're not too comfortable either. Because it's an atmosphere created within the arena of uncomfortability.
Wait. When have you ever felt uncomfortable by white people? When you're the majority. When you're the majority and there's a sprinkle of white, you never feel it. You'd be like, we got this. You never feel like that it might come after me. No.
fair point. But I think where he messed up was, you know, let's see how we can deal with this black issue, this black problem, quote unquote. I think there's a way to, and then the other thing is like it's a bad look for the white fans because it's like it's making them look like they're a bunch of Southern racists, which probably only a fraction of them are.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Atlanta sports in general is not exactly the fans
right,
aren't,
yeah,
aren't
like
the best.
The Braves were arguably the best team of the 90s, and they still, you know, were not, you know, the leading the league in ticket sales during that decade. You know, the Falcons had some really good years. They've never really been a big attraction. No. You know, even when Vic was there, you know, Vic was probably the biggest box office draw maybe in Atlanta history, and they still didn't sell out every game. And the Hawks have been, they've had some playoff teams. They've had some good players over the years. Not a big attraction. So it's not a black problem. It's not a white problem. It's an Atlanta sports fan problem. And yes, it is complicated by race, mm-hmm. but it's not something that I think that it's not impossible to figure out. You know, D.C., I just went to a game in at the MCI Center. And it was the coolest game I've been to in a long time. You know, just because it, D.C., like, you've been to D.C., Marcus. D.C. is pretty
chocolate. I've been to the Verizon Center.
D.C. is pretty chocolate.
Yeah.
Man, the atmosphere at the Verizon Center, it was you know, it was a good balance of hip hop, rock music, you know, it was, you know, the cheerleaders demographics, it was, you know, a nice mix, even had a Latina cheerleader up in there. You know, it was, I never felt like, oh, this is a black event, or oh, this is a white event. It felt like an NBA event, which is what all NBA games should feel like.
But I mean, if you're gonna, like, you know, the environment where the arena is, it's smack dab in the middle of Chinatown, in what's it, Northwest? It's Northwest DC, right? Yeah, they're Northwest. You know, they're not playing in Southeast DC where it's majority black. So I think where the arena is located, unfortunately, plays a factor in all this stuff. And I don't know. I mean, I've never been to Atlanta, so I don't know where Phillips is related, where it is located compared to the demographics around it. So if it's, you know, I've heard stories about the Georgia Dome and where that's located, and the same with Turner Field, but I've never heard anything about Phillips in terms of location.
Well, Phillips is like right where you remember where the old Omni used to be?
Uh-huh.
It's basically right there.
So same area? Like
right. But yeah, basically the same area. Like, so it's, you know, granted, I haven't been back to Atlanta for a few years, but it's interesting. It's just, let's just, I mean, put it that way.
They're not playing in, like, Buckhead or anywhere, like, you know.
Right. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's not like the blackest area, but mm-hmm. It's also in one of the blackest cities. So, obviously, there's going to be some crossover. Like, if the average NBA attendance, you know, in terms of African Americans at an arena is, let's say, 25%,
mm-hmm.
in Atlanta, it's probably going to be 50% just because that's the pool of the demographics that you're pulling from.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a way to, like, it doesn't have to be all black. It doesn't have to be, you know, the choice doesn't have to be T.I. or Travis Tritt. Like, it doesn't have to be that black or white, pardon the pun.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the genius part of this whole thing is my man was looking to sell his team for years anyway.
Yeah.
Couldn't find a buyer. Now the league is going to force him to sell, or he's going to step down and resign. Now he's going to get paid.
Yep.
Again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but somehow things just work out. You know, like, was he at home? He's like, you know what, man, I'm tired of this damn team. Hey, Danny, I think it's time to go to Plan Black.
Now, I mean, I don't think they were. I don't think they knew this investigation. Well, I don't think they knew it would lead to an investigation. And I'm sure in the back of his mind, he knew he sent the email, but he probably didn't think it was a big deal. So I'm sure when it was discovered, he was like, oh, this little thing? I can't say this? Oh, okay.
He's like, Danny, it's Bruce. Time to initiate the Cunawa plan. There's your reference for the week. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, and again, I think, I don't know if he was relieved that nobody really talked about it, but I think this is something that it's going to get weird. It's going to get legs. Like, once this Ray Rice thing has died down, I think people are going to be like, oh, wait, we missed this Atlanta thing, didn't we?
No, because that means people caring about black issues, and I think people in general, the general audience, as we saw with Ferguson, they don't really care unless it involves them or the media.
Well, it's twofold. One, it's a black issue, and two, it's an Atlanta issue, and as much as I love Atlanta, it's not like if this happened in New York or Chicago.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be a bigger story, but Atlanta's kind of, eh. You know, its sports fans are like, eh. Its teams are like, you know, they're never terrible, but they're never really, they're not legendary squad. Even the Braves, as good as they've been. Nobody really looks at the Braves as, unless you live in the South where you had TBS all those years and you were conditioned. Like, nobody looks at the Braves like the Yankees. Like, people look at the Yankees.
Yeah.
So if this would, you know, if this thing happened to the Knicks or even the Nets, you know, it might have been a bigger story with some legs, but you're right. Because it's a black thing and it's an Atlanta thing, it might get swept under the rug.
Oh, yeah. I don't expect. I mean, the Danny Ferry stuff, I think I think he's still going to get canned at some point.
Yeah, he's got to go. Well, I think he's going to go anyway. Whether he gets canned or he resigns or what, even if he waits this out, whoever buys the team, they're not going to keep Danny Ferry around.
No.
Like you got to go, Danny. What the hell are you still doing here, man? Like, Danny, we bought the team 3 months ago. What you still doing, man? we had a pretty full A block, didn't we, Mark?
Yeah, it was a busy week. Busy week.
So we're going to take a break and decompress after all this heavy talk. And we're going to come back and... You feel like talking some football, Marcus? Like some actual real football?
Let's do it.
All right. More Kings of Sport right after this.
Country name, country slang, fiends at the liquor store. Lack cruising, crap shooting, 50 on the 10 of 4. Overcast, the forecast shows clouds from plenty drove. And we ready for war in the state of Georgia. Yeah, dirty words, dirty birds, it's mean in this dirty south. You ever disrespect it, and we'll clean out your dirty mouth. Bulldogs clocking, these lookout boys is hawking. You gotta be brave in the state of Georgia. I got 5 Georgia homes where I rest my Georgia bones. Come anywhere on my land and I'll aim at your Georgia dome. If you get in an altercation, just hop on your mobile phone and tell somebody you need help in the middle of Georgia. We some ATL thrashers, scope your pumpkin and smash her. We'll come through your hood worse than a tsunami disaster.
Don't know what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Keep my Georgia tech in the state of
Georgia. Nothing on my mind, but
Georgia.
We ain't playing with you. We on the grind, and
Georgia.
All the time, it ain't nothing on my mind, but
Georgia.
We ain't playing with
I'm from
you.
The home of Nate Bone, black eyed peas, turn up in collard greens. We the children of the corn, dirty than Bob Marley's PP. GA, the beach state, where we stay. My small city's called Albany.
Georgia. Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your gridiron gabfest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow.
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Nate and Marcus holding things down. And if you're hearing that music, it must mean it's time to talk football in Second Down. I'm still getting used to that. Second Down is our weekly look at the world of football, whether it be collegiate, professional, or what have you. And this week, once again, we're going to talk some NFL. And, it's good to talk about some actual on-the-field action. A successful week, Marcus, not for anything that we watched on Sunday, but for the announcement that came across my email, my Yahoo inbox, that let me know that I won my fantasy game this week, and I believe you won yours as well.
Correct. I'm in first place.
The Kings of Sport are both 1-0, and Jamie and Bill from Mr. Throwback Thursday are both 0-1. I have not received confirmation on our wager yet. Maybe they're trying to run out the clock on this one.
They both lost? Wow.
They both lost. Because Bill lost because he put up an undermanned squad against the franchise.
Yeah.
The juggernaut known as the franchise and got whooped like 90-50, which... Like the franchise had he won, but if he was playing anybody else that won, he would have got smashed.
Yeah.
So he picked the right week and the right person to roll up on, because Bill was not. I don't know if Bill's in hockey mode or what. Bill's a Giants fan though, so maybe he was anticipating what was going to happen on Monday night.
Very fitting, because his fantasy team played with the Giants.
Is Eli Manning, like, is, you know how people, like I talked in the first segment, people feeling sorry for Ray Rice. I feel sorry for Eli Manning. Like he's just like, he's like Tony Romo, but Tony Romo that is likable. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he hadn't done anything to deserve hate except for sucking on the football field.
Well, Romo hasn't done anything to deserve hate except for being Romo's a Cowboy.
Romo's kind of cocky, though. Maybe it's the Cowboys thing, but he's like, Eli's like, aw, shucks. And Romo's like, hey, he's like Matthew McConaughey.
But people love McConaughey.
Well, they do. I guess they do. But I'm saying, out of the two of them, Eli seems the more grounded one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel bad for Romo. He gets a bad rap for being on that team.
Yeah, I've never been a Romo basher. Like, I think Romo's been a better quarterback than he's been given credit for. He just, it's the clutch gene. Some people got it, some people don't.
He doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it. But that doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback. Like, I mean, there's plenty of quarterbacks. Like, when we were kids, remember all the quarterbacks that never made it to the playoffs, but we still had their cards and their jerseys and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were good quarterbacks that never won Super Bowls or won playoff games, but they didn't seem to get the hate that Tony Romo's gotten. And maybe it's because he's been in Dallas, and maybe it's because he's been on that team for so long. But, you know, I mean, I never remember Randall Cunningham getting that type of hate.
I blame social media. I feel like there's a lot more hate in general in life because of Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
People have way too much time in their hands to just spew ugly things at people.
Hey, man, Bernie Kosar would have got lit up on Twitter.
Yeah.
But Eli to me is just, it's like, he's, I don't know if he's the luckiest son of a bitch in the world or what. Like, obviously he's got talent, but my man got two Super Bowls over Tom Brady. And he's also an interception machine. Like, he's the same, but he's the same guy. The same guy that is terrible is also a guy that's a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. Well, terrible now. He wasn't always terrible. He hasn't really been terrible since last season. That's when it started.
But has he ever really been great, though, Marcus? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Hey, the two rings says he's great.
Like, I think Eli is, I'm not going to say he's terrible, because I don't think he's terrible. I think he's an average quarterback that has had above average to great games in the postseason. But I think if you just look at his body, like, as a quarterback, he's not his brother. He's not Brady. He's not Breeze. He's
better
not
than, better than Flacco. His body of work's better than Flacco.
I'll give you that. I'll give you he's better than Joe Flacco. Let's check out our picks from last week. For those that don't know, we are doing a contest each and every week. I don't know if it's a contest because
we didn't make a bet. Have, I don't know. We'll think of something.
Like but the listeners, you guys can join in too starting this week. Marcus and I are picking five games a week against the spread. And what happened last week, Marcus? I don't remember how our picks went.
All right, so just to run through our picks from last week. Broncos -8 over the Colts. We both had the Broncos. Both got that wrong. Saints, Falcons. Saints -3. I had the Saints. Nate had the Falcons. Falcons won outright.
All right, Atlanta.
Steelers -7 over the Browns. Steelers were cruising, and then gave up, I think, like 24 unanswered. We both had the Steelers. Did not cover there. You sense a theme here for my team? Jets, Raiders, Jets -5.5. I had the Jets. Nate had the Raiders. Jets give up a late touchdown to get the back door cover for the Raiders. And Arizona -3. I took the Cardinals. Nate took the Chargers. Arizona won by 1 point. So, that means Marcus, myself, went 0-5 this week. Nate, you went 3-2. So
I'll take that. And you're the guy that's in Vegas all the time, Mr. Degenerate Gambler.
That would be correct. That's me.
All right. So let's pick five games this week. We're gonna pick four Sunday night for 4 Sunday games and the Monday night game. And let's see. Since we just talked about Eli for so much, for so long, let's go with the Cardinals-Giants as game number one.
All right. Cardinals-Giants, Arizona minus 2.5. So the road team is the favorite in New York on Sunday. That's wow.
That line feels like a setup. Oh, Arizona. Mm. I'll go with the Cardinals.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
After the way Eli played, wow.
Yeah.
West Coast team going east, playing a 1 o'clock game. I'm going to go Giants.
Okay. All right. Game number two. Let's keep the theme going, Marcus. I think each week we'll pick a Jets game just to torment you.
Okay.
And this week is a game that, you know, I wish, you know, there's some times when I wish our former co-host was on this program. This game is one of them, as the Jets head to Lambeau and take on the Green Bay Packers.
Packers minus 8.5.
Ooh. Oh. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points. Rodgers looked shook last week, but he was playing the Seahawks defense. I'm not sold on your boy Geno. You go first.
Taking the Jets and the points.
That seems smart. So I'll take the Packers.
All right.
All right. Game number three. How about them Cowboys? Dallas going into Tennessee to take on the Titans.
Titans 3.5.
Titans 3.5?
Mm-hmm.
Dallas.
Titans.
I like that we're having all these different picks because it keeps us from tying. Let's see. Let's go. So we're on game number four.
Yep.
All right. Let's go with. Oh, this is another game that that would be a good one for our dearly departed African. The Falcons going into Cincinnati to take on the Bengals.
Let's see. Cincinnati minus 5.
Cincy minus 5. I like that. I'll go with Cincy.
I'm doing Cincy.
Yeah.
That's up at home.
Yeah. I mean, Marvin Lewis, man.
Most overrated coach in the NFL.
And fine, that was four, right?
Yep.
All right, finally, the Monday night game pitting the Eagles against Andrew Luck and the Colts. What is the line on that, Marcus?
Colts minus three.
The comeback kids. I'll take the Colts
at home.
Yeah. Okay, so those are our five games. Again, the games for this week, if you want to play along at home, and we'll post a thread up on the board, which should be up by the time you listen to this. We're picking the Jets at the Packers. We're picking the Cardinals at the Giants. We're picking the Falcons at the Bengals, the Cowboys at the Titans, and the Eagles at the Colts.
Yep.
Get all of them? All right.
Got them all.
So those are our five games for the week. So we talked a little fantasy. We talked a little of our little friendly wager here. Back to the field, Marcus. Was there one or two games that really stood out to you from last week? Any surprises maybe that you didn't see coming?
I don't want to call it a surprise, but Matt Ryan looked like Matt Ryan when he actually had his healthy team around him with both receivers. So that was good to see. Besides that, the Steelers defense was a bit surprising how they sort of collapsed in the second half. Against
and who was that Antonio Brown that returned that kick?
Which kick?
For the Steelers.
Oh, and he kicked in the face. Yeah, that was Antonio Brown. The bro kick. Yeah.
Oh, that was brilliant. Like something always shady is going on with Pittsburgh and special teams. Coaches tripping people and returners kicking people in the face. Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
But besides that, RG3. Well, it wasn't so much RG3. He looked okay, but the Washington offense just, Jade Rudin was supposed to come in and, turn around this team and call plays that would help Griffin and the rest of the offense. And they added DeSean Jackson and Andre Roberts in the offseason. But to get only 6 points on the road against Houston, that's not a good sign for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, RG3, he didn't have the best game, but he went out and did what they asked him to do. You know, he was pretty efficient. I think he was like 29 out of 37.
Yeah.
Over 250 yards. Did he have any interceptions?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So, he wasn't lights out, but he was playing within himself. He was resisting the temptation to take off and run. He's doing what you say you want him to do, in terms of the coaching staff, and they weren't able to generate points. So I don't know if it's a matter of are they going to have to take the reins off and let him kind of freestyle a little bit until they can work the system out or what, because this is a team that has weapons. You know what I mean? You got Garcon. You got Jackson, like you mentioned. Jordan Reed when he's healthy.
He's out Alfred for a while Morris. Now.
I mean, the weapons are there if everyone's healthy, but they didn't look good at all. Like, it was boring, that game against the Texans.
Yeah, I only saw bits and pieces of it, but it just seemed like they could never get in rhythm. And coming off last season where they were totally disappointed, so I just wonder how soon will they start calling, or how soon before they start calling for RG3's head and they want Kirk Cousins in there.
Yeah, which is, like, if you're a Redskins fan, like, that's stupid. Like, you can say that RG3 still has, some growing to do in terms of being that field general, but the loss on Sunday wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't.
Like, he could have played better, but he wasn't. Like, I don't think he was in the top three of problems that they had on Sunday.
No, special teams was up there. That was an issue.
Yeah. I'd say the games that I enjoyed, of course I enjoyed that Falcons game. I think that's an important game from the standpoint of the Saints. If they were able to win the first game against the Falcons, they'd have pretty much like the Falcons are the only team in that division that I think can compete with the Saints. Everyone else, like the Bucks, are a team in transition. Cam Newton's got no weapons in Carolina. Like, there's nobody else other than Atlanta that I think scares the Saints, and I don't even think the Saints were really scared of the Falcons going into that game, but this changes things.
Yeah, it was they liked the Falcons from 2 years ago, not from last season, which you're a Falcons fan, right?
Yeah, two years ago.
I'm sure that makes you happy.
When we were an inch away from returning to the Super Bowl. Damn you, Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. So it should be. I'm glad that game was week one because I think now they don't play again until, let me double check, probably the last few weeks of the season would be the rematch between those two. Week 16 in December. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's. I think that gives the Falcons confidence. Like you said, I was really impressed with Matt Ryan. And, for those that, were like, oh, Ryan had an off year last year. Yeah, he did because, A, they had trouble keeping him upright. And, B, if you don't have Julio Jones, you see what he means to that offense.
Oh, yeah, but he's a bit different.
if you got Julio Jones, Roddy White, and then like your third option is Devin Hester, who can, you know, he's not a great receiver, but if you can get him the ball in space, he can make people miss and make some plays. Like, that's a pretty, pretty nifty little passing game.
So yeah, Cincinnati should be a good test for them to see how good they actually are.
And then finally, the last game that kind of surprised me or turned my head a little bit was the Patriots and the Dolphins, man.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan Tannehill, I mean, he didn't have the best game, but he did what he had to do. No Sean Moreno. I don't know what the hell got into him, but no Sean looked good. And Tom Brady, even though he is a very valuable quarterback and one of the greatest we've ever seen in this league, and you'd be lucky and privileged to have him on your fantasy football team.
Not last week.
Tom Brady just looked off last week. But I'm sure he'll be better weeks 2 through 15 if anybody is looking to acquire Tom Brady.
Let's hope so. Oh, that's right. You have 10,000 quarterbacks on your bench. This was your top plan was to...
Time for my... You know, like week 2 is time for my plans to come to fruition. Like, I'm looking at owners, the people that own Tony Romo, people that own RG3. Yeah, you might want some insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your quarterback, Marcus?
Let me check. I've got too many quarterbacks, too many leads going on. Andrew Luck.
Okay. You're all set at quarterback, man. Yeah, I think the franchise sent me a trade request, which I summarily dismissed. It was like Brady for Sammy Watkins, straight up.
Oh, no.
I can't do that, man. Like, granted, he's my backup quarterback, you know, on the bench, but I can't give Brady up for Sammy Watkins, man. You got to put together a package or something. Like, Sammy Watkins wouldn't make that trade.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Sammy Watkins is like, no, I wouldn't take me for Tom Brady. So, yeah, that's oh, that's interesting. So, we kind of given our picks. What game are you looking the most forward to this week, Marcus, real quick before we get out of here?
There are a lot of shitty games this week, to be honest.
I can't lie. Like, on paper, last week, there were a lot of good games.
This week, not so much, man.
But, yeah. Even last week, though, like, the games that we thought were going to be good, a lot of them ended up being snoozers.
Yeah. Seahawks Chargers is interesting. I would say Chiefs Broncos, but after the way Kansas City played last week, I'm not sure. Not too sure about that game.
Peyton's going to go in there and eat them boys up.
They lost two guys who had two torn Achilles in that game on Sunday for Kansas City, so they're hurting already. Actually, Bears 49ers might be interesting. That's a Sunday night game.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I think probably the Falcons Bengals is the game for me. Steelers Ravens on Thursday should be interesting. Considering
for a number of reasons.
Yeah, for a myriad, a cornucopia of reasons, if you will,
a plethora of reasons.
Other than that, yeah, there's not, on paper, not a lot of good games out there. Like, are you really, I mean, granted, they're both 1-0, but are you really clamoring for Dolphins Bills at 1 o'clock?
No.
Like, that's,
and this is week two. When you think you'd still be excited about football? No.
Like, I'm not rushing home to see Dolphins Bills.
Yeah, and I'm good on that.
I can check it on my phone. Listen to it in the car radio. Yeah, so yeah, not a lot of good games this week. But you know, football is football, man. So hopefully we'll have some exciting matchups and some big time plays. Hopefully somebody will pick up Tom Brady. If you're out there listening and you're in the league, give me a call. Well, don't call me because I'm not gonna pick up the phone for any of you degenerates. But you can send me an email. I mean, I love y'all, but I don't want y'all knowing my personal info. Like, there's probably two. I was gonna say there's like two or three people in the league that know like my legitimate home phone number. Like, I think you, maybe Dennis, and Flipnuts, maybe. Well, he knows my cell. Yeah, so it's like you and Dennis are the only people in the league that know my home number. Everyone else, nah, you can't get that. Like, I don't want franchise leaving voicemails on my phone. Like,
can't have that's, that.
That's when I'll have to step down like Roger Goodell. Be like, you know what, Roger, it's about time for all of us to step back.
We're in too deep.
If I resign as commissioner, do I have to give a press conference? Like, is that?
No, I don't see him giving a press conference if he left.
I was talking about me. Like, like, is there an app on Yahoo Fantasy Football?
We're not there yet.
You can do press conferences. Like you can do the blue screen with the NFL stuff behind you.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, that's something to think about. I'm looking for the like, this has nothing to do with actual games, but since you're affiliated with Yahoo, like, I was looking for the you know, last year when they gave you like the recap of your games.
Uh-huh.
Do they still do that? Because I don't see it this year.
I don't think so. I haven't heard anything, but I didn't get one either. So I'm guessing not.
Yeah, because I used to love that. It, like, it made the game feel like a real game.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I think it's the same company that does the grades, but I'm not sure what happened. So
yeah, I was gonna say yeah, like it was written in the same format as the grades, and the like there was some cool stuff this year, like I said, with the during the draft. So maybe, you know. Like whoever that company is, they do good work. But yeah, I was missing the headlines this week. That's what it was. It's like the regular team destroys such and such on the backs of a good rushing attack. And I'd be like, nigga, this is like a real news story.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's still fun nonetheless. I'm in four leagues this year, and I went 3-1 on week one. So I'm starting off good.
Yeah, I went, I think, 4-2. I'm in too many leagues.
I was going to say, you're in six leagues. That's crazy. You're in six leagues and you have a regular job.
Yeah, that's...
Most people in six leagues do not have regular jobs, Marcus.
Yeah, I won. I'm making dead last in my work league. That's not good.
So how many of these leagues are for money? How many are for fun?
Three are for money. Three are for fun. And I won two of the money ones, and the third one is my work lead, and did not fare so well. I also had Tom Brady and Jamal Charles, so that's my excuse.
Yeah, Jamal Charles. Yeah.
And Jordan Cameron, who got hurt. And Keenan Allen, who didn't show up, so I had some issues.
Yeah, a lot of bad luck for Marcus Vandenberg this week.
That's all right.
Yeah. There's always next week.
0-5, making picks. So make your picks. If you're doing it very, just do the opposite of me. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, we will have a thread up. It's probably up by the time you're listening to this on our Facebook page. So we can all join in the fun, and we can all see who's a genius or who's clueless when it comes to picking NFL games. So that's going to do it for Second Down. I think we went second and long this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
third down for what? That could be our third segment.
Third down for what? Don't push it, Mark.
All right.
we gave you second down.
All right.
Light skinned brothers, man. You give them an inch.
We'll take it all, man. I'll become president one day.
So that's it for Second Down. Coming up next, segment four, and you know, we're gonna end the week with some hilarity, hopefully. So stick and stay. More Kings of Sport after the break. Over. I pick up the mic and rock it while I'm sober for the rated G exposure. If you listen to what I'm trying to told you, we fathers were seeds of our own. Time my sons and daughters, boy, not roots and clones. Not in a fairy gone wrong. An embryo with no soul. Stuck in a dream. Any man with my lungs in a chokehold. Jacket past the boom, bastard. That's to say, don't do that. Freaky fresh, smash the gas and slam us in the traffic.
That Scrappy won a box and throw them bowls, so I had to sit the pit bull on before he could pass one blow. Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Damn-Doo, Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, everybody. You remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do, too. My name's Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host, Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. Head over to placetobenation.com for the latest and greatest in sports and pop culture. Lots of great articles, great podcasts, and great opinions at Place to Be Nation. So go ahead and check them out. PlaceToBeNation.com is down with the Kings. So why don't you get down with PlaceToBeNation.com? And I'd like to welcome everyone back to the season premiere of the Kings of Sport. It's been a great season premiere so far, Marcus.
Probably like 10 people got that joke.
Hey, it can't all be broad. Sometimes you got to go narrow, and the 10 people that got it will really, really get it, and they'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, but it is time for segment 4, what you wait for each and every week. It's our weekly look into the world of ratchetness when it comes to sports and pop culture. We throw it in the pot, we give our opinions on it, and, you know, who knows? You may learn something before it's done. So, this week, we'll go to someone who's, I think he's earned his spot on the segment 4 of Mount Rushmore. And that is one, Floyd Money Mayweather.
Welcome back, Money. Welcome back.
I'd write him a congratulatory card, but I don't know if he could read it.
See?
Oh, why did I do that? you know it's bad when it comes out of your mouth and you're shaking your head before you finish the sentence.
Round 13, literacy.
Oh, but there was some pretty interesting news with Floyd. Of course, he chimed in on the whole Ray Rice deal, and if there was one place where Floyd Mayweather should have practiced discretion and kept his mouth shut, it was in this situation, because it only draws attention to Floyd's history with domestic violence.
Yeah.
Like, we should give Ray a second chance. Like, come on. No, Floyd, no. Like, where's the dude with the bag? Where's the dude holding the money bag? Like, he should have been there like, hey, boss, I don't think you should say that. Was he on break?
I mean, kudos to the media member for baiting him into that question, because I'm sure they knew what was going to happen when they tossed the question out, but.
Yeah, but just because they ask you doesn't mean you have to answer it.
Oh, no. And I don't know why his people didn't tell him, hey, next question. We're not discussing, right. We're discussing the fight only, we're not discussing outside issues.
Oh, Floyd. But, I mean, he is in fight promotion mode, so, you know, nothing's off limits for Floyd when it comes to fight promotion mode. And, you know, not only did we get that chestnut, but apparently the sands of the hourglass may be running out for one Floyd Mayweather.
Well, let's back up to the lawsuit that he's involved in, too.
Oh, yeah, Leah, let's not gloss over that.
Yeah, another lawsuit, this one by Ms. Jackson, of 24/7 fame, who filed a lawsuit against Floyd, basically citing, it's a civil lawsuit, so basically citing domestic abuse. And some of the stuff she cited, sounds up his alley. And she does mention the whole Instagram incident with Dasanaram, where Floyd posted a photo of Dasanaram and claimed that Ms. Jackson had an abortion and aborted his kid. So a lot of stuff in this lawsuit. Once again, it's a civil lawsuit, he's not facing any jail time over this thing, just money. So I'm curious to see what happens with this, but none of the stuff that was in the lawsuit should come as a surprise considering Floyd's past.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, it's civil, so it's only about money. And, you know, if there's somebody that can, you know, pay his way out of trouble, it is Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it may hurt his pocketbook, but at least he's not, you know, going to have to spend some time in the Gray Bar Motel.
Yeah, not this time.
But you, for all of this talk, all this distraction, there is a fight, Marcus.
Saturday night.
And according to all the radio commercials and TV commercials that I've seen, this is the toughest fight of Floyd Mayweather's career.
Yeah, they've done a good job of trying to fool the non-boxing fans into thinking this fight was actually closer than it was the first time around. It wasn't that close. Just because one judge had it a draw, you know, a little fluky, but Floyd won 8. Maybe even 9 of those rounds against Marcos Maidana. And I expect the same on Saturday. I expect a better fight from Floyd. I think towards the end of the fight, we saw Floyd sort of figure out what to do with him, and I think we'll see more of a domination on Saturday.
Wasn't it, because I know what some of the things that I've seen in the visuals was Floyd bleeding, and it's a great way to kind of manufacture a story and kind of rewrite history. And I think we talked about it at the time where I was like, you know, you and I know, and people that watch the fight know that, you know, it wasn't because Floyd got busted up by Maidana, but if you put this in a package and put some dramatic music and some slow motion and some change the filter, it makes it for a good story.
And he was bleeding for like a round. His cut man did a great job of getting that cut closed, and by the end of the fight, there was no blood.
Yeah, so they made the most out of that one round. Floyd Mayweather was hurt like never before.
Yeah.
And they got the scary piano music. And then Floyd actually says something in Spanish in the commercials. I can't remember because it was funny. Because reading his Spanish promos was much better than reading his English promos. So he probably just memorized it.
Yeah.
It was like, gracias, amigo. Like the most basic Spanish, you know, Spanish 101. Like, gracias, amigo, boxeo. Like, okay. Why don't you throw in a tecate while you're at it, Floyd? I think both of us are of the opinion that Floyd should win the fight. Do you think it'll be any closer this time than last time? Because I actually think it will be less competitive.
Yeah, it'll be less competitive. I don't think it'll be closer. He's not going to knock him out. It's going to go 12 rounds, but...
Yeah.
I can see a point where, I mean, Maidana fought a dirty fight, let's just keep it real, and I can see a point where it might get interesting where Marcos might go back to the dirty ways and we get a situation where either Floyd's corner is upset or Maidana's corner is upset after losing at a point, or maybe there's some extracurricular outside the ring, but I don't think the fight inside there will be any more competitive than it was in May.
Yeah, me neither. I think, you know, it, like, giving Floyd Mayweather another crack at a guy that he's already beaten, and now he has the extra motivation of people doubting him.
Yeah, it's just
like that's not a good look for Maidana.
Yeah, bad combination.
Dead giveaway. Shout out to Charles Ramsey. But getting back to Floyd, you know, when he kind of hinted at, you know, stepping away from the sport. Do you believe him? Because I like boxing retirements. I'm so dumbfounded I can't even spit it out. But boxing retirements are like a dime a dozen.
I sort of believe him. I think he's going to have one more fight in him. Because if he goes the last, be honest, his contract will be 49-0. And knowing that he's the boxing historian that he is, I think he'll want to get that 50th win.
I was going to say, don't you think he wants to get that 50th?
Yeah. So I can see him fighting one last time. And I think I mentioned before, by then, the new arena in Las Vegas should be opening in 2016. And I think that's where he'll end his career, within the new arena.
So you're saying two more fights?
No, he's at two more after Saturday.
He's got two on the contract and then one more after that.
Yeah. So
okay, so yeah, you're saying three fights altogether.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see that. And do you see any big names in any of those three fights? Do you see a Pacquiao or perhaps a Hopkins in any of those?
I could see... Well, no, I can't see Hopkins 2 years from now. Because I don't think he gets past 12 left in November. I could see Cotto, for sure.
Yeah.
As for Pacquiao, I still think it happened. I think both guys know that if this fight happened, it would still make tons of money. It would still, people still want to see the fight as much as they claim they don't. When it comes down to buying the actual pay-per-view, people will buy it. So I think that fight will be one of the final three fights in his professional career.
Yeah, I can see that. I think, I guess now we're in the mode of eulogizing even before the body's in the ground. But do you think that if he's not able to secure a big fight in those last three, that it in any way, I'm not going to say tarnishes the legacy, because he's going to be a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest fighters we've ever seen. But do you think it diminishes his legacy somewhat?
No, I don't think it'll have a huge impact on his body work or his legacy. I think it'll just be one of those what ifs, one of those dream scenarios of what happened if Mayweather fought Pacquiao. But I don't think people will hold it against Floyd for not fighting him.
Yeah, I think some people will. But then again, on the list of reasons you can hold something against Floyd, not fighting Pacquiao is not even in my top 10.
That's the bottom of the list.
Like, that doesn't even come into the equation. Like, I got more problems with Justin Bieber. Maybe Floyd will fight Bieber.
Let's hope Bieber doesn't show up on Saturday. Jeez.
He's got to show up. He's part of the entourage. He's part of the money team.
TMT. Hard work. Dedication.
Oh, man. Yeah. Maybe he'll fight Nelly. Maybe they'll make that fight.
Nelly and Floyd?
Nelly
and Bieber.
Nelly and Floyd.
No, I was going to look. Nelly and Bieber.
You can have a handicap match, Floyd and Nelly and 50 versus Floyd.
Nelly and 50 versus Floyd. Still take Floyd.
Yeah, I think I would too. Read this, nigga.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather, like, it's funny, like, it's because of all the stuff that we talked about Floyd over the past few months. It's like, inside the ring, I don't think you can touch the guy, literally and figuratively, but it's like everything else complicates his legacy, I think, in the sense of, like, it's hard to root for Floyd now.
Yeah, I wonder, the people who are so gung-ho against Goodell and Ray Rice are going to be watching Saturday's fight.
Yeah, did you send me that tweet, or somebody sent me that tweet the other day?
What was it?
Because Sierra and I were having a discussion about it, when we were talking about some of the players that kind of flip-flopped on Ray once the video came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, no, it wasn't you. It was somebody in my feed. It may have been Jay Danielle, who's a football columnist in Philly. She wrote, I wonder if the people that are so adamant about Ray Rice are still going to, pay $50 to see Floyd on Saturday. You know, it's like, how do you reconcile that?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and I think that goes back to what I was saying about Ray. Like, if Ray Rice was still the Ray Rice from 2 or 3 years ago, he'd be back in the league sooner or later. Because talent trumps all, unfortunately, you know. If you can sell tickets, if you can win games or win fights, somebody's going to have a place for you.
Yeah, I want to see if his pay-per-view numbers are better in the rematch than it was the first time around.
I mean, they should. This is the most dangerous fight Floyd's ever taken.
Yeah.
Sure. Don't you believe everything the money team tells you?
Nope.
Oh, maybe we'll have to holler at your boy Morgan if he's recovered from Mike Tyson to get his thoughts on the fight next week.
Yeah, I would patch him in now, but I don't have 45 minutes, so he likes to talk.
Yes, we love Morgan, but that's Morgan's somebody you got to talk to at the start of the show.
Yeah, you got to carve out some time for him.
I mean, he might have some great stories. He might be cooking, you know.
Yeah, who knows?
Oh man, but I think we're done this week, Marcus, unless you got any other anecdotes you'd like to share with the people.
No. Oh, speaking of Vegas, you said you've never been to Vegas before, right?
No, never.
We'll have to get you out here for the wedding. We'll have to change that.
When is the wedding?
It's April 10th.
April 10th. So you're going to have the wedding after WrestleMania?
Yes, it's like 2 weeks after.
Which begs the question, are you going to WrestleMania?
I think so. It's in my backyard this year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's not a big trip this year.
It's in Yahoo's backyard, and Yahoo's all over that stadium, so Yahoo hooked me up with some tickets, man. But I'm probably going to go.
Yahoo's all over the stadium?
Levi Stadium. They have a partnership.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You'll notice on Sunday during the 49ers game, whenever they score, they're going to play the Yahoo yodel after any touchdown or field goal. So.
Really? So that's pretty cool because they didn't have to pay for the naming rights, but they're like all over the stadium.
Yeah. There's a fantasy football lounge suite deal they have going on. So it's a whole partnership. But yeah, they're not on the stadium front. But inside, they have a presence. It's like 10 minutes from headquarters. So I think that's part of the reason why, too. It's right next door to where Yahoo's based. So
you can say you're doing work. You're there on business.
Yeah, maybe. We'll figure something out. But it's March 29th is WrestleMania. So
okay. And then 2 weeks later is the real main event.
Yeah. It's Wedding Mania. One. One and done.
And then we'll have that great... You remember the Billy and Chuck wedding on SmackDown, or was it Raw? I think it was SmackDown.
It was SmackDown.
Yeah, and when Eric Bischoff turned out to be the priest.
Yeah.
And he peeled back the makeup. Just be careful if your minister has an African accent. It was me all along, Marcus. Big nasty. What a swerve. Hey, Vince Russo's doing weddings now?
Yeah, I don't think Big Nasty will be at the wedding. So.
Oh, he's not going to make the guest list?
Yeah, I mean, when you don't talk to us, it's hard to make the guest list.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those Luol Deng type of Africans.
That, yeah. Can't be trusted.
Surprisingly enough, we did get a shout out this week from TJ McClune.
Really?
Hey, we haven't heard from TJ in a while, but TJ hit me up the other night when I was talking about the Ray Rice deal on Twitter. So shout out to TJ.
Okay.
It's been a while, and we've had some women on, so maybe we'll see what TJ's doing.
Yeah, maybe
down the road.
We'll see.
Maybe. You know. You're not on the bad list. You're not on the good list. You're in our. Others receiving votes.
Yeah, there you go. 26.
TJ McClune is the South Carolina.
How dare you? Did they drop out of the top 25? They're still in the top 25.
They are for now.
Yeah.
How long that lasts?
They're 23 and 24, and then they play Clemson. on Saturday. Or is it Georgia?
They play Georgia.
Georgia, that's right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. There's no guarantee,
yeah,
Mark.
The Mighty Shaped Agents, ECU. They don't look too good.
We shall see. We shall see. Football rolls on, and so does the Kings of Sport. Unfortunately, this is our last stop for this week, but we'll be back next week with more ratchetness, probably some more fallout from the Ray Rice incident. Maybe Roger Goodell will still be commissioner. Maybe he won't. We'll have some fallout from the Floyd Mayweather fight, and lots of good stuff coming up on next week's show. So again, thanks for everybody for checking out the show, and thanks for checking out the bonus episode too. Like, we hit y'all with two episodes in a close succession last week,
and back-to-back days,
and both of those episodes were heavily downloaded over the weekend. So thanks for the support. If you want to leave feedback, if you want to leave some criticism, if you want to get involved with our picks contest, hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or hit us up on Twitter, KOS_POD, KOSPOD on Twitter, where you can join the likes of Sherrod Small, who follows us. Yeah, there was somebody else that I thought was big time that followed us. Or maybe they were just big time to me. I'll look that up with Marcus. While I'm researching that, let the people know where they can talk to you.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, where people like Omarosa follows me, and who else? No. yeah, Marco Will, Twitter and Instagram.
Okay. Yeah, it was Sherrod Small and
Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs, that would be something. TD Daily, and the only reason that caught my attention is because it's a new football magazine, but it's brought to you from the people at Slam Magazine.
Okay. They just said TD Jates at first. I was like, ooh.
get ready for the Kings of Sport.
Yeah.
What's that preacher out there that had to go on leave of absence because he was talking about God's penis, which is like, come on, man.
Oh, what?
The guy, it was some preacher out in Seattle. Let me look this up right quick. This will be some bonus segment four activity.
Unless you're in Preachers of L.A., I probably don't know you. So,
no, this wasn't the guy from Preachers of L.A. This is Seattle-based Mars Hills Church, and they have a 40% drop in attendance after the founder and minister, Mark Driscoll, kind of basically said that women were homes for God's penis.
Homes?
Homes. H-O-M-E-S.
Oh, wow.
Homes for God's penis. So he said women, since we were all built in the image of God and we have penises, that our penises do not belong to us. They are God's penises as men. And so women were created not to be companions, not to be partners, not to be mothers, but to be a nice home for God's penis.
That gives the definition of a homebody a whole different meaning now.
And obviously, my man took some heat for that. They had to fire 40 of its staffers because, you know, people dropped from the church, and so they were losing money.
How big is this church? They have 40 staffers on payroll?
This is one of those mega churches. Like, yeah, that's why, you know, TD Jakes, it reminded me of that when you brought up TD Jakes. Because this dude has like a mega church out in Seattle. And so they've got 100 staffers all together. And so they may have to lay off 40 of them, depending on, you know, depending on the fallout from this. And Driscoll apologized, and he said he's going to take a 6-week leave of absence to think about himself and connect closer to God and get reconnected. I don't know if that's with God's penis or not, but it's like, yeah, I'm a God-fearing man. I'm a man of faith, but some people are just like, this guy, and you remember the guy a couple months ago, the black preacher that was in church? He's like talking about you can't trust people out in the world. He's like, these hoes ain't loyal.
I missed that too. I'm not from my preacher gossip.
Yeah, he said that in the middle of a sermon. Like, he was just like, you can't trust these people in the street. They don't have your back. They don't trust you. These hoes ain't loyal. And everybody's like, okay.
I didn't tell you, but you ran into my fiance's preacher at WrestleMania.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a huge wrestling fan.
We ran into him actually the night he went to Mania. We ran into him on the way to Monday Night Raw the next night. And his wife.
So does he work wrestling into his sermons?
He does not, but he has worn the Brock Lesnar shirt, I believe, to service. The Eat Sleep. What is it? Eat Sleep?
Eat Sleep, Conquer, Repeat.
Conquer, Repeat. Yes, he's worn that to service.
Oh, I can just imagine, like, he's working stuff in. He's like, you might believe in the Shield, but I believe in a Shield from above with the real architect.
Believe that.
Yeah. When life tries to swerve you. we've all been hit with a steel chair, but we got to get back up.
We've all been Russo'd.
That sounds interesting. Is he going to be the one performing the wedding?
No, because, well, also, like, you mentioned, this is a mega church, so this doesn't have that same relationship. But we're doing, since we'll be out of town, we are leaning on a friend of ours who lives in Vegas. They're a preacher.
Okay. From
the local church, so.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. So yeah, so you have to start taking notes in service, and let me know if he starts bringing in little if he starts trying to disguise angles as biblical parables. Like, I remember once when there were two sisters that were arguing.
Oh no!
I believe their names were Bree and Nikki, and they were getting torn apart by the world.
The church wouldn't approve those actions by either sister. All that fornication going on.
when the devil says yes, 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 you gotta say no, no, no. Oh, hell no. we could go on. Like, that would have been a great thing for, like, Devon. Remember the Reverend Devon? Uh-huh. If he gave actual sermons, but, like, turned it into, like, angles. Instead of, like his whole gimmick, I think, was he was, like, the crooked preacher that was stealing money from the fans.
Yeah.
But, like, if he had just gone out, and, like, every week, just instead of even wrestling, just gave, like, a 2 or 3 minute sermon about what was going on in the ring, that would have probably been better.
Better than him what happened. Deacon Batista.
Deacon Batista, yeah. Oh, that was a good little bonus. Good way to end the week.
There we go.
With some levity. So yeah, no matter what you believe in, crazy is crazy. And this dude is, I'm not going to say he's crazy, but these comments were kind of crazy. And he's a young dude too. I mean, I don't know if he's young, but looking at his picture, he looks like a chubby AJ Styles.
Oh, okay.
Wrestling and church, there's a lot in common. There's a lot in common. So I don't even think I gave my Twitter out.
Nope, not yet.
All right, so if you want to send me your ideas for wrestling-themed sermons or just talk about football, hit me up at N8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. And again, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter for the Kings of Sport. Also, don't forget to check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, rate, review, and share the show with your friends. And take 5 minutes out of your day. It doesn't even take that long. Take 2 minutes out of your day. Head over to podcastland.com. Look up the Kings of Sport and vote for us for September Podcast of the Month. I think that's it. That's all the plugs I got.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, and, you know, come back next week, and we'll have some more fun, and we'll have some more great conversations, and I'm sure it'll be fun and insightful, and at some point during the program, we're going to touch on race, because that's what we do. Like, if you played the drinking, if you're playing the Kings of Sport drinking game, and you took a sip of Hennessy every time we talked about race or wrestling, you'd probably be drunk by now.
Somebody's got to do it.
So, for Marcus Vanderberg, who was I going to say for? It's only two of us.
Yeah.
It's late. Like, I mean, it's not late, but I worked all day and then I came home and now I'm like watching Impact out of the corner of my eye. So yeah. Let's try that again. Let's run that back.
All right.
For Marcus Vanderberg, I'm the Godfather Nate Milton. Keep on reading, Floyd. Had to bring that one back. At least for this week. It fits. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
It's quite possible I'm your third man.
What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, PlaceToBeNation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. PlaceToBeNation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best and comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. I want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also, our friend Dave at TWFNews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversation. Also, check out PileDriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great Old School Wrestling Review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at RSPWFAQ.com. So for everything you need, your pop culture fix, check out PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.